Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition to Daytime After Dark. It's February 10th, and today we have a great guest, first time talking to, and she's been in so many iconic shows, Generation, ER, Dr. Quinn, American Horror Story, which she was really good in, by the way, people. And welcome, Joanne, to the show, and I'm going to bring her on now. So here you guys go, and if you want to call in, call 347-850-8721. Thank you. Hi,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you? This is it. I've been holding so long, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, and then I heard your voice. So
yeah, you have been on so many iconic shows that isn't funny. I loved you on ER. You did a great job on ER. Well, I saw every episode of ER. And
well,
I mean,
I know that people may know me from television because I was on the series Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman for 7 years, and then I was on the series The Daytime Soap, which was the first, you know, really multicultural daytime soap. Generations, and I played Doreen Jackson, the Black Erica Kay. I was on Generations. We did that for 2 years, and people are still wanting to try to bring that back. At one point, BET was talking about it, and I did the television series, which was the first drama to feature a Black core family in a dramatic situation, which was Palmerstown, USA, which was a joint venture of Alex Haley, who wrote Roots, and Norman Lear. And then, of course, I was on the nighttime soap, Barringers, from the creators of Dallas and Knott's Landing, and Falcon Crest. But you know, and I've done a lot of television, a lot of film. But I also
done so many, and Generations was really a great soap, and you know, you were on it with, I think, who, one of them is not here anymore, and I miss him so much, and you were on it with Christoph St. John, and also James Winters, who's also a friend of mine, and so, yeah, you were honored with those two handsome guys. And how was it to work with them? Because, I mean, I know them as friends. So how was it for you to work with them?
Well, they were, you know, you do your work and you bond with people, and it was really great. And because especially when we're doing Generations, initially, because I come from the New York stage, and I did the musical Two Gentlemen of Verona on Broadway, which I was nominated for a Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical, and won the Drama Desk Award, Theater World Award, Outer Circle Awards, and Drama Critics Award. When I got involved in Generations, I would always want to rehearse. I would also always want to, like, we do our camera blocking and things, but then I wanted to go off and always rehearse. And so sometimes initially the other actors, like Christoph or whatever, they were like, oh, I don't, but what was happening was I was going off and rehearsing and getting my lines down and getting things down. And then when you do that, the writers were writing more and more and more for my character. And so I would find Christoph and them saying to me, okay, let's rehearse. So that was really fun. That was really fun. And so yeah, he had a really great work ethic. And like myself, he had started out he was in California, but I was in New York, as child actors. So it was something that we've done all our lives. And he was just a joy. And through the years, we touched base, but not with the kind of consistency or closeness as we did when we were actually doing the show. And that's what's unfortunate sometimes, because you can get extremely close to people when you're working with them, and you feel that you're family and you'll always be together forever and ever. And then you all go on to the next show, and you sort of and then you build up that kind of relationship with other people. And that's why I like soap operas and would love to do another one again, is because there are people who've worked on these shows for 10, 12, 20, 30 years. And you really do build up, they really become a part of your core people in your life.
Yeah, and if you want me to help you get on any of the four remaining soaps, let me know. I will do my best. I think you would be great on all four of them, but not at the same time, of course. But I
Oh
think.
no, I can. I, you know what? I'm very good at multitasking,
I know. I was being
Carly.
funny, but
And I was attempting to be funny too. So, okay, I understood what you meant, of course.
well, I just think there's not a lot of black actors on daytime right now, and I think the diversity needs to be there more. And I just feel like, Ryan Young and the Restless, after Kristoff died, it's like they destroyed the whole Winter family. And that was one of the core families of Young and the Restless. And I just think, you don't see enough of, the diversity on the soaps like you said. I mean, you had James Winters on Days of Our Life, who does a great job. I love you, James, if you're listening. But, there needs to be more diversity on the soaps. I mean,
Well,
I've been
what I
saying that.
find inter yes,
Go
yeah, and I agree. But the thing that was good about Generations, I believe, because and I prior to that, you would have like a token black character, woman or a man, and you knew they were going to get together. And yeah, like Another World was rather expansive. And All My Children, with at least bringing in having seeing where these people lived, you might see one or two other characters that would be associated, like their family members or whatever. But with Generations, which was created by Sally Sussman and Judy Ann Mason, who's no longer on this planet, lovely Judy Ann, wonderful writer, and Sally Sussman, Sally Sussman, now Marina, who is now the executive producer on Young and the Restless, but what Generations helped to do, because you had the core family, which was the Marshall family, but then you had other black characters on the show, with their own major storylines and things like that, and that opened the way so that so you were seeing after Generations, you were seeing more black characters, where they lived, what their family was like, and so forth and so on daytime television. And I believe Generations opened that door to say, okay, we can have more than just the token couple, or or the token friend or whatever. These people, you know, we could have storylines and good storylines. We could be good people, bad people. We could be soap opera people, you know, just as diverse and multi-layered as all of the other characters have been on soap operas forever. And so, yes, I'd love to do Young and the Restless. And I'm going to, hopefully, Sally Sussman, you're listening to this. Come get me. Bring your underwear on Young and the Restless.
I think you would do great on any of them. I just think, you know, your talent is missing on the L. And when you were on ER and Dr. Quinn, you did absolutely amazing job on both of them, because I never missed the episode of ER and Dr. Quinn. I was like, you know, that was the two shows I had. I mean, the whole time it was on, I couldn't miss episode, and you did a great job in the American Horror Story. You did a great job in that. I thought you were fantastic, and how about doing something like that? Because
I wish it was American Horror Story, but no, it was Ryan Murphy's American Crime Story, and I did two episodes.
Oh, American Crime Story. I'm sorry.
The People versus O.J. Simpson, and I played Christopher Darden's mom, who was played by Sterling K. Brown, who's wonderful. So that was quite exciting. But for 7 years doing Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, I really loved doing that character, and also I was the first African American woman to be a series regular on a primetime Western. That was the first. And I just loved it. And we grew very close as a cast. And unfortunately, this weekend, Orson Bean, who was one of the actors on the show with me, was tragically hit and run and killed almost the year to the day that Christoph passed away, and that shook me up. And then also the wonderful, talented, extremely wonderful Paula Kelly, singer, dancer, actress, passed away this weekend too. She was also a friend and also very dear.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm glad I'm talking to you, Carly, because I just, I don't want to cry. But
believe me, go ahead, because Christoph meant everything to me, and he came on the show whenever I need him, and he was my TV husband, and he would have done anything for me. And so go ahead and cry. I'm still not there yet with actually, you know, I know he's gone, but it just doesn't seem right that he's gone.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you. Did you watch the Oscars last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I
good.
Didn't.
Because good thing you didn't, because I'm mad at them, because you know how they do the remembering of people that passed away? They did not put Christoph in there, or Luke Perry, or a couple of them. And I'm like, wait a moment, rewind this. You know, he was in movies. You know, for me, I'm like, wait a moment. You know, in my opinion, I don't think you have to win an Oscar to be in the Oscar memoriam, and it just made me so mad last night. I'm still mad over it.
That can happen. Unfortunately, you know, because he was on YNR for almost 30 years, and he did most of his, you know, films when he was a kid. You know, he was in the Bad News Bears and those things. And I guess, I don't know, but I do know that they did a wonderful tribute for him at the Emmys.
Yes, they did.
So,
yes,
and
they did.
So So the Emmys got it right.
I'm just so sorry because when I saw Christoph's ex-wife's Trudeau remark about which I cannot repeat on air, I'm just so sorry for her. I'm like, I get what she was saying, I get it. And last night Oscar, to me didn't seem like an Oscar show. And when the best movie won that I never even heard of, it was just I think a weird night. It's been a couple weeks, like you said, with Olsen passing away, and then you had Kobe Bryant passing away. It's just been a weird couple weeks, and I'm like, okay, can we get back to normal and not have anyone?
And then for me with with Orson Bean and with Paula Kelly as well this weekend passing
Oh, I
away,
didn't know that.
it's
I'm so
just
sorry.
yeah. And so to me, it's just like people should live as fully as they can because tomorrow isn't promised. Tomorrow is not promised.
Exactly. And
And
I have a
so.
question about you were on Trapezon MD, another one of my favorites. I loved Gonzo. I loved him. I cried when he left. I was mad. But how was that experience? Because,
Well,
that
the thing
was
about
also
that.
a show that I thought would never. I never wanted to go off the air. And you were so good in that too.
Well, the cast, because Bryan Stokes Mitchell, who's gone on to do really great things on Broadway and whatever, he was on that show. And so I had, a lot of friends, on this
Oh.
on that show. And I really had I had a good time. I had a good time. And
Well,
they were
you
very
look
nice.
like
You can tell, when you're on a series, you want to make sure, or at least want to make people who are coming in to guest star on the shows, you want to make them feel at home and make them feel comfortable. Because sometimes you can be a guest on a show and you go in and, but it was like not too long ago, I did an episode of Shameless. And I've got to say, they were the most terrific people. You just felt so welcomed. So, I mean, it's just wonderful. And that comes from the top, from the producers, that comes from, the star of the show, Emmy Rossum. I did scenes with her, and she was just lovely. It was just a wonderful experience. And that's why I love to say those things, because sometimes people want to hear gossip or people want to hear something negative. Well, sorry, you're not going to hear that kind of stuff from me.
Well, I mean, my mom and I watched Cat in the Lacey. She let me stay up way past my bedtime. And you were on it, and she came over today for a moment to drop something off, and I told her you were going to come on. And she goes, I remember that episode. I'm like, yes, she was really good. And so, like, you've been on not every show, but I tried counting how many shows you were on, and I kind of lost count because I was trying to put your whole bio on Blog Talk, and it only gave me 2,000 words. So I wanted to apologize that your whole bio wasn't on there because it would not
Oh,
let me.
It's quite all
It
right.
would
It
not let me,
really
and
is.
I'm like, and you were also on the Love Boat. How was that before I let David and Bobby on before they kill me? Because they will kill me.
That was great. I had a great time with that. My dear friend who passed away just recently, Kay Ballard, was on that episode as well. Antonio Vargas, my scenes were with Antonio Vargas, who's done a lot of work, but is one of his roles he's best known for is playing Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch. And so we had a great time working together. And I did. It was just, it was terrific. And they were very nice on that show. And I'm still very close to Ted Lange, who played Oscar, I believe Oscar the bartender on Love Boat. And so, yeah, it's great. Great.
Well, yeah, I mean, everything you do touches to gold. I just want to say before I bring on David, because if I don't bring on David, I will surely die. And I'm not kidding. So I'm going to bring him on. David, you're on the hill.
Hi, Janelle. How you doing?
Hi, David. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a joy talking to Carly.
Yeah, she's awesome. Also, my dream to talk to you. I've seen so many things on my on the family. What was I working on there? Because you was funny. On the family.
Well, I've got to tell you that, you know, people will see All in the Family and they'll think that Carol O'Connor was like that Archie Bunker character. He was not. Carol O'Connor was one of the nicest. In fact, I'll tell you a story. We were, you know, because the episode is that, you know, Archie wakes up in bed with a black woman. It's a practical joke. You know, we've done, but his friend, but when we were doing the table read, and I was a guest, you know, I was just on there, you know, this wasn't my show, but I'm sitting at the table read, and so the question comes up: Why would this woman want to get in bed with him? And why would this? And blah blah blah. And so then one of the writers or producers said, "Well, we'll just make her a hooker," and I am. And it was like, I didn't say anything, but my look on my face, and Carol O'Connor just went, "Hold on a minute. We are not going to make this woman a hooker. You guys come up with an idea." And they made, and so I was the stewardess, you know, and who just loved to do practical jokes. And during the party, Archie said a few things weird. And so I'm like, I want to play a joke on him. And that was what happened. But I just loved how Carol O'Connor just spoke up and just said, "No, we will not make this wonderful woman a hooker. You guys come up with an idea. This is what you're getting paid for. And I will absolutely love him forever. He's a wonder. He was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Yeah.
And that's
a
story I've never told. I've never told. You're getting it for the first time on
your
show.
Yeah. Well, that's a funny episode. I'll watch it so many times. And it's very funny. You were funny. The look on Archie's face and everything. Also, who do you play and what's happening?
Oh, she was a lettuce princess or something.
Oh, yes.
It was one of those rerun joins a cult, but really we were just con artists trying to con people out of their money. But I was the queen of lettuce or whatever it was.
It was rather silly.
But I had great fun working with, in fact, we're still friends, Ernest Thomas and, Fred Barry's in the, you know, in the big TV show in the sky. And my other dear friend who was on that show, Mabel King, who, you know, from Broadway, we were great friends.
Yeah.
And she's no longer with us, too. So, you know, it's as I was saying to Carly, we have to live life to the fullest because tomorrow is never promised.
Exactly. David, did you have any more questions?
Yes. Okay, I love Palmer Town, USA. What was I working on there? I used to watch that. Okay.
On what? Oh, Palmer
Town.
Oh,
yes.
That was, I think that I was cast in Palmer Town because I wasn't in Roots. You know, because Alex Haley and Norman Lear created Palmer Town, and I was up for several roles in Roots, but I was like in between ages where that was concerned. So when Palmer Town came along and I auditioned for it, I was thrilled because, as I was telling Carly, this was the first primetime drama, not comedy, drama,
yes,
that had a black, yes, core family, a mother, a father, and children. Usually,
mm-hmm,
it's, you know, you see a black core family, but it's always in a situation comedy. And Palmerstown was the first to have a black core family. The only other drama before that had a father, Bernie Casey and Harrison Company, I believe that was the name of it, and that was,
yeah,
a dramatic show, but he was a man with his children. But Palmerstown, we had, you know, mother, father, you know, and children. Also, what was magnificent about Palmerstown is that behind the camera, our cinematographers, our set designers, prop people, it was like maybe 60-70% African American on the crew, which was like, I remember Glenn Turman came on to do an episode, and when he walked on and he saw the crew, and he just went, "Have I died and gone to heaven?" Because, but that was something that Alex Haley wanted and Norman Lear wanted, was not only were we going to be represented in a new way in front of the camera. Because at that time, Norman Lear had all of the comedies, you know, he had,
yeah,
Good,
yeah,
Times,
yeah,
was his, and, you know, Sanford and Son was his. So, he,
yeah,
and those were the comedies, but he wanted to do something different with doing the drama. And he and Alex Haley, you know, Alex Haley, he could just spin a yarn. He was terrific. And playing with Bill Duke, you know, being my husband, that was wonderful. And at that time, when we were filming Palmerstown, Bill was in the throes of finishing up his tenure at AFI and launching into his directing career, which has been very successful and very rewarding. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, with the great show. Also,
yeah,
that session, Cotton Comes to Guard in Harlem. What was like doing that? That was a great movie, Cotton Comes to Harlem.
The funny thing with that one was I had that scene, a scene with Red Fox. He was Uncle,
yes,
Bud or whatever.
Yes.
And it was, the thing is that was the first time of my, like, doing a film, and I'm so used to doing stage and theater that I found it so slow. It was like you get there and you're just sitting around,
mm-hmm,
and it's like, okay, when are we going to do this thing? But I'm glad I did Cotton Comes to Harlem, because when they did the sequel, which was Come Back Charleston Blue, they cast,
yes,
me in the lead female,
yeah,
role. Lead female role. And that was really, amazing, but at night I was starring on Broadway in Two Gentlemen of Verona, and then in the morning I was filming Come Back Charleston Blue. So it was like when I was saying to Carly, making a joke, I can multitask. Well, I could back then. I don't know about now. but yeah, and it was really, I loved working with Godfrey Cambridge, late Godfrey Cambridge,
yeah,
and the late Raymond,
yeah,
St. Jacques, And you know, there's so many people now that I look back that I've had the privilege and honor to work with, and say, yeah, you know, yeah, that's I'm grateful. I've been blessed.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, I going on about I'll show you one, but that's Bobby, you can't talk to you. Great talk to you, and please come back.
Oh yeah, of course you will come back, right? Because we love you, and if you don't, I will be in trouble. So, you know, when
Well,
calling trouble with the boys.
now you know my phone number, so you can just call me too.
Oh
We
yeah.
need to talk to somebody. We need to talk to somebody who won't shut up. I'll call Janelle Allen. Thank you so much.
We have one more call. Hold on. Because if Bobby doesn't get to talk to you, my day will be over. David, I will be putting you on hold.
Hey,
Hey,
Janelle.
Bobby.
Hey, Janelle.
Hi.
Hey, I wanted to.
Hey.
Hey, it's Bobby.
Hi,
So,
Bobby.
hey, first, first off, like Carly said, it would be great to come back to WANA. It's just is a little sad that Kristoff is no longer on the show because of what happened to him last year. Because that would have been a great reunion. But you always got James Reynolds in case Daisy needs him. In case Daisy needs you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that one part.
What did you say?
Well,
Wait a minute.
yeah.
Let me put you on my speaker. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you still here?
Yeah.
Bobby, what did you say, buddy?
Yeah, I said if it's sad that she couldn't reunite with Kristoff on Generations, but it's great but Base is always open for her to reunite with James Reynolds because he was on that show.
Oh
Hello?
my God, we lost you. Oh, hold on.
Hi. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah,
Hey,
you.
Joe. All right. As
He
I was
was.
saying.
Yeah, he's
Hello?
back, Bobby.
I didn't really get the whole question, so
All right,
he could just.
all right. Well, I know you work with Kristoff on Generations, and you work with James Reynolds, who is now on Days
Right,
on
right.
Generations.
Yes.
It's just a little sad that Weiner had me call you back, and they do call you back. It's kind of sad because Kristoff is no longer on the show and stuff, but you're always open to new days to reunite with James, and that would be great.
Yes, it would. Write those
Yeah.
letters in. Tell them.
Yeah.
Tell them that,
Yeah.
you know, we'd like to see that woman with him again. With him. Yes, it
Yeah.
was. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know with the soaps back then, I think prior to Generations, and this was a few years before when they had the only African American icon couple on daytime television was Jesse and Angela on All My Children
Yes,
at the time.
Debbie Morgan and Darnell.
Darnell Williams, yeah.
Darnell
And
Williams, yes.
it was just a great way that you all paved the way because you saw, because on WANA, we saw what happened eventually with the Winters family when Drusilla and Neil and Shamar was all a part of it with Lily prior to that, and with Lily, and later on with Days with James and Renee and their son Theo. So
Right.
it's just kind of great that you got the African Americans to show a lot, because a lot of these, because when you look at Young and Restless and Days nowadays, it's more dominated by the Hispanic side with the
Well,
Young and
yes,
Restless and
because that's just it, because soap operas, you know, and novellas and all of these things. It's like we're all there. We're all there, you know.
Yep.
There, you know, there can be Asian people in town, you know, Hispanic people in town, Black people in town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the world is about. We
right.
can all be living in our little villages together. It's no longer,
right.
you know, it's no longer, well, it has to be Black, or it has to be
right.
Hispanic, or it has to be Asian, an either-or situation. We can all be in it together.
Right,
that's what
I've
the
seen,
world is about.
Right, because I've seen on Young and Restless that the interracial relationship between first Lily and Daniel and then later Lily and Kane, and I've seen how that worked out. And it worked out pretty good in this day and age where everything has to be so politically incorrect, with racism being the key word in most of what we see in the newspapers with the headlines and on television with negative response and stuff like that.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah.
Could you just repeat the last part of that again? I'm sorry. I'm trying to hear.
Right. Right. And it's great that how some of these soaps now, like this one with interracial relationship, like what we saw with Lily and Daniel on Young and Restless, and then later Lily and Kane on Young and Restless, and compare that with what's going on nowadays with everything being so racist, with people saying racist stuff on social media or the internet, or what
right.
happens on TV. And some of these people can be cruel. And I'm glad that, and this isn't the, and mind you, this isn't the 1960s or 50s where we had to deal with a whole black and white issue and anything like that. This is 2020, and we still have that going on right now. So I'm glad that shows like Generations and even primetime shows like Empire was able enough to handle this thing for our African American show with a predominantly black cast.
Right, right. And
well,
the thing
yeah.
is, the thing is,
I agree
is that,
with both of you.
Yes, absolutely. And also, the thing is that what I think the industry, you know, because if you go and you see a lot of the shows that are coming out on Netflix and Hulu, you're seeing
mm-hmm.
more representation of Black characters, I mean, you
yep.
know, in the leads in the shows, Hispanic characters in the leads in the shows,
right.
Because people of color sell, you know, whether,
right.
you know, people can be going on and saying really horrible things or saying that whatever that racist stuff might be, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, it does. You know, but now
right.
people, I think, are more vocal about stuff. It was always there, but now I think people, for whatever reason, feel that they can just open their mouth and say whatever. And then also on social media, because people are, you know, sitting at their computers, and some of you, you know, you may know them, you may not know them, and they feel empowered. And if they're angry or bitter or upset, they'll be saying the most horrific things about people that they don't know. You know, my
right.
feeling about all of that stuff is that I am not going to put someone down. I am not going to attack the way someone looks on a red carpet. I am not going to do any of that stuff because,
exactly.
first of all, it's karmic, you know, because when
yep.
you're pointing a finger, pointing a finger at somebody, three are pointing back at you. So it's like, no, I do not want to have any of that kind of negativity or whatever, you know, in my life. And so
exactly.
what I think is awesome is that let the haters hate, you know, let them do what they're doing. Meanwhile, stay positive, stay focused, and you just keep on stepping ahead.
Exactly, exactly. And when I see these soap actresses, like the actress that played Nell on General Hospital or Gabby on Days, get hate mails and hate comments on social media, I tend to feel bad for the actresses themselves because it seems like they want to try to block or just get away from social media because of all this crap.
Well, I think for the most part, I can't speak for them, for the actresses, but I can. What I can say is I never read any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah. You
have it's like you have your job to do. So you really can't get bogged down in reading or listening or playing into negativity because you don't want it to stick on you in any way because you can't unring the bell. You know, people are sensitive, whatever. And if you pick up something and you see somebody has said something horrible about you, even if you're like, well, you know, I got to keep on pressing on and I can't let it. Mm. But you've already seen it and you can't unring the bell. So
better
not to look at any of that stuff at all. Whether
exactly.
it's good, because if you believe the good stuff that's said about you, you'll believe the bad stuff. So the only person you have to really please is yourself and God.
Okay.
And that's an inside job. And that's
right.
an inside
okay.
job.
I agree. Amen. Preach this.
Amen. Oh, Lord, you just cut me down, didn't you?
Anyways, I mean, I know if I can be serious for a minute, I know that when you look at the primetime shows out there, and even the Netflix shows like One Day at a Time, Blackish, Misfits, or Empire, you see a different diversion to what we've seen 30 years ago. Because you've seen One Day at a Time on Netflix and with the reboot of Party of Five, Hispanic family. And then you see on Blackish,
that makes me so happy because I remember many years ago, and I don't know how old you are, many years ago on Jet Magazine, and in the back they would have, colored people on TV this week or whatever, or black people on TV, you know, and there would be like this whatever, and and I did a lot of firsts, and
right.
so I was doing a lot of TV. I'm happy that there's, I believe, a group of us whose shoulder. I mean, to me, the show To Have and Have Not, it's generations.
Exactly.
Empire to me is generations
exactly.
in a lot of ways. You know,
right. And Blackish is like a funny version of that if you look at it, and even Misfits.
So,
To me,
it's like I feel that those of us who were fortunate enough to be able to be there planting those seeds are
mm-hmm.
able now to see the fulfillment of that harvest.
Exactly. And if I can just say one more thing, I do remember seeing Generation when it reran on BET shortly after it got canceled from NBC, right before Comet View, before I saw D.L. Hughley and Cedric the Entertainer do their thing before they became the kings of comedy back then. I had to just sneak out of bed for that because I was young and they didn't allow me to listen to that kind of stuff, even for Def Comedy Jam or the rap songs that were out in the 90s. But I managed to sneak out and just get the chance to do it. But I was, I guess, the same person that did that with Eddie Murphy records and Richard Pryor records. Well, that was me back then as a young kid.
I'm so glad you called in and I could get to talk to you.
Please come back. We want you to come back. And if you do any more, like a new show or a new movie, let us know. Let David or I know because we want to get you back on. And when I get James Leonard back on here, whenever he gets unbusy, I will try to get you two on together because I think Days of My Life should put you two together because right now my poor Abe doesn't have anyone to love him. So I think it will be a great thing to put you two together on date. I just thought of that while you and Bobby were talking.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, have a great day. Yeah. And, just come back whenever you want.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Great interview, Carly, as always.
Yes, I almost cried when, you know, talking about Kristoff and Olsen, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? And I'm still mad at the Oscars. I still, you're not forgiven.
Is David still on the air with us? Hello, David?
Yes. Hey,
okay, I couldn't hear you. I thought we ran you off because of your long chat.
Yes, and, well, we have a jam-packed week this week, you guys. Tomorrow we have the cutie, Daniel Hall, coming on. And then we have, someone on Thursday and Friday.
Raven, then we got a lady Curtis on Friday.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it on Friday because it's Valentine's Day and I'm taking my girl out to dinner, so I'll be unable to make it for Friday. And next Friday, I'm not too sure if I'll do the show or not from Myrtle Beach. I don't think I can get Wally Kirk or Jacob Young or Brady from Days or Cassie the Pilot onto the show as for a impromptu interview because I don't know which hotel in Myrtle Beach is staying if it's the same one I'm staying at. But I definitely can give out the good word when I see them on that Saturday that you should have one of them on the show. I don't know if you can get Brady on because he's contracted with Days, and I think you talked about the situation with Days and Young and the Restless and General Hospital and Bold and Beautiful before, by the far as current players, in fact, before. As far as contract players go, now recurring players, I think it's just something else. But contract players,
well,
are
true.
You could get Emma from General Hospital if you want on the show, but you're not sure if she's back on contract, even though she's recurring right now. Because that would be a good her sister that was on Young and Restless for a brief time.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, no time left for today. I do not want to lose my voice this week.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we end it here? And I will be back on the air tomorrow at 9:00 in the morning.
9 a.m.?
With Daniel Hall. No, I hope you guys call in.
That would be 9:00 your time or 12 our time.
Yeah, 12 your time, yes.
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to call in because I'm going to be finishing working out. I'm going to try to call in, but I have to get off the phone. But I have to get off the phone after the interview because I don't want to be late for work and I don't want to get fired for talking tomorrow morning. But I'll be there tomorrow morning for the interview.
Okay, bye guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.